Perfectionism. That is the topic of today's episode. So, high achieving women aren't exhausted most of the time because they're weak. They're exhausted because perfectionism taught them to carry everything alone. So, Dr. Susan Landers is here. She's back today to explain why rest feels hard, why joy feels distant, and she is even going to tell us some tips on how to finally change that. She also just released a new book called Good Enough is Your Superpower, and she's going to talk a little bit about that as well. It's so good to have you back, Susan.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here. I missed a few weeks back because of some minor surgery, and I'm glad to get back in the swing of things. I don't think much has changed for working moms in January compared to December. They might be hearing this in, oh, it's February now, because the beginning of the year is sometimes just as busy as the end of the year. Especially with New Year's resolutions and whatnot. But
Talk
since
about
I
added
put to,
pressure, hey?
yeah, added pressure, I know I'm going to do better in the next year. So, and working moms are just overwhelmed. And I talk to them all the time in the gym with my daughter and with her friends. And she still invites me to some of their social gatherings. So I use that time to take a pulse of what's going on with millennial and Gen Z working moms, and they're exhausted. They feel like they have to do everything really well, if not perfectly. Their work, most of them are working full time, taking care of their children, attending to their relationships with their husbands or partners, and then trying to throw in some exercise, which everybody tells me is impossible. I remember when I was in my 40s, I had to schedule to leave the hospital early 2 days a week to go to the gym. I left the hospital at 4. Yeah, it's that bad. I mean, so nobody is just gonna strike out and walk around the block, which is really good for you, getting outside in nature. So, everybody is exhausted. And the reason they're exhausted is that we've set ourselves up to do everything so well, if not perfectly, really well. Our definitions of a good mother are taking care of everybody's feelings, taking care of everything in the household, taking care of all the emotional waves going through the house, taking care of your relationship with your spouse. And then at work, we take care of our partners, our colleagues, our mentees. If we're managers, we overdo by checking in on our employees. And there have been lots of good studies that show that women managers at work spend way more time worrying about their employees than they do themselves. So we set ourselves up to do everything really well. And we're not very good at pausing to rest or pausing to exercise or do things that are really rejuvenating. And so then we get in these ruts. But if we're perfectionistic, the rut is just more work. That's how we look at it. We look at it as, okay, I shouldn't be this tired. Everybody else is doing all of this. They don't seem as tired as me, although they might admit that if I'm sitting down and having a coffee and they're doing it all and they have a family and they have a job and they have a husband. Why am I so exhausted? That's where we all start from that square where we sit down and we go, I just don't get this. Why am I so exhausted? It's because, Lisa, we set standards for ourselves that are way up here, not here, not here. They're way up here. And do you know where those standards come from?
Well, I'm just thinking in my mind, we're setting standards that aren't even real based on like social media and all this
Yes.
stuff that we're consuming. It's not real,
Yes.
yet we're like, I want to be like this, but it's not even
Yes.
real.
I know. I caught my daughter scrolling through perfect Pinterest homes. I'm going, you know, those are curated. You know, those Instagram feeds show the best. And she goes, I know, but I should do better. I said, no, you're doing great. You work full time. You have two little kids. Your house looks fine. What's the problem? I was there too. I remember. And you know where we get those ideas? From when we were little girls. You
Interesting.
have to be quiet and you have to be a people pleaser and you have to make good grades or you have to be accommodating or you have to be inclusive or you have to be this way to have friends or this way to get your parents' attention. And so there is a good girl blueprint that we hear when we're young. Mine, for example, my parents preferred my older brother and my younger sister. And so what I did to get attention was make A's. That was what I could do. I made good grades and that got me attention. So when we grow up with conditional love, we learn how to be a good girl or the best girl. And we carry that all the way into the workplace and into our relationships. At work, women have to work harder than men to achieve the same money, to achieve the same rank. And so we start out in the workplace knowing that we work in a patriarchal society. And we start out knowing I have to be better to be recognized, to be successful than that guy. And he's got a wife at home. I remember thinking that when I joined my practice in Austin of 9 men. I was like, okay, every one of these guys has a stay-at-home wife. And why am I comparing myself to them? They've got a lot of support. And I have a husband who's also working full-time. But I still said, oh, yeah, I can do everything they can do. I mean, why do we do that? I did it. I was guilty of it. I thought that success would make me feel better about being that way. And it does. I love achievement, I love certificates, I like promotions. I'm sure all the listeners do. But think about when you get the promotion, when you get the certificate, when you get that notice, what do you feel? You feel good for like a nanosecond, right?
Totally.
And then you go, oh my God, it's more work. Oh, now
Well,
what am I going to do to get the next level?
it's like, okay, now what do I need to do to get to the next level? But it's also like, as women too, we're taught to be modest and to not
Yes.
over celebrate. So like a perfectionist to me is someone who's like really modest and they're not set out to achieve. So if you do achieve, you want to celebrate, but it almost feels like you feel guilty celebrating. Like
Exactly.
it's so strange.
We don't allow ourselves to feel the joy of success because the success means more work, or the success means, well, I can't brag about that, you know. I deserve it, yeah, but I can't brag about it. And celebrating it is not humble. So we just keep achieving, we just keep striving. So, you know, if we want to be the room mother, and if we want to be the chaperone for the field trip, and if we want to be the soccer coach, and if we want to be all those other things that it's really hard to do when you're a working mom. It's hard enough to do if you're a stay-at-home mom, but when we do those things well and people say, great job, we go, I really wonder if I did well enough. It's amazing because everything we do, we have what's called an inner critic. Do you have an inner critic in your head?
Oh, I've got two of them.
Do you have the Lisa that says, okay, Lisa, are you really sure this is going to work? Okay, Susan, I'm not sure. Did you screw that up or did you do a good enough job on that last project? And our inner critic also has been programmed from when we were little girls. We heard our teachers tell us what we had to do to get it right. We heard our coaches tell us what to do. We heard our mentors tell us what to do. And all of these pathways in our brain, all of these messages, how to be a good girl, how to do it well, those things create our inner critic. So I want people to think back. What messages did you get when you were growing up that you remember in your own head? Did I work hard enough? Did I do this well enough? Is it really complete? Did I give everybody credit that needs credit? Am I being humble enough? I mean, the inner critic just goes on and on. And so, one of the things that's really hard to do is to recognize the inner critic. And I love the way Brené Brown describes this. She says, when we talk to ourselves as an inner critic, we are being so mean, so catty, so picky that we forget that we would never talk to a friend that way. If you did something really well, and you worried about how well it was, you would say yourself, I don't know if I did that completely, or I don't know if I should get credit for that. But what I would say to you is, Lisa, that's a great job. You did a really great job. I bet you should feel very satisfied with that. Or you'll go, no, I probably could have done better. And so your friend would assure you that what you're doing is fine or excellent, but you will not assure yourself that way until you learn. One of the things to do to combat perfectionism is to learn to silence your inner critic. Some people say, Namer, you said you had two. Do you have you named them?
I was kind of joking, but I was like, sometimes I feel like there's more than one and they all have different
Yes.
personalities. I don't name them, but I was also thinking, like, as you're speaking, like, even if when I accomplish something and someone compliments me on it, it's almost like I don't believe them. And so where
Right.
do we get validation from? Like, if we don't believe someone tells us we do a good job, like that has to come from ourselves. I think this is a
It
different topic,
does.
but that's what it makes me, that was what it was making me think about, is
Yeah.
who tells us what's good enough? Like, who makes up those rules anyway?
Well, we have to learn to make up those rules for ourselves. I've always said good enough is what we should strive for. And it took me about 20 years of being a working mom to figure that out, maybe 15 years.
And does that
And I would
definition
have,
change day to day?
it does, and it can, because you want to be a good enough worker, and you want to be a good enough mom, and you want to be a good enough friend or daughter, and you want to be a good enough partner. And all those things are different. And so, yes, your definition of good enough changes. And you're going to have a different inner critic about each of those things. My house looks like a mess, but really it's lived in and fine. Or I really haven't been out on a date with my husband in 2 weeks, but gee, that last date was really pretty wonderful and we reconnected. And I missed my kid's last soccer game, but I made cookies for the party and he loved it. And so we have to say to ourselves, we have to silence our inner critic. We have to say, that's not right. That's not right. And that is the hardest thing to learn how to do. When you do a good job and your inner critic says, did I really do a good job? And somebody has said, great job, Lisa. Thanks. You know what you should say? Thank you. You
Right.
should take the compliment. You should take the compliment and say, thank you. You don't have to say, thank you. I did do a good job. You can just say, thank you. But silencing the inner critic, first of all, noticing the inner critic. Second, silencing it and talking to yourself like a friend. Okay, I know I'm having a hard time with this particular project, and I've given it a lot of effort, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to get some help at work tomorrow. That's okay. Everybody has trouble with this particular kind of technology. It's going to be okay. That wasn't bad. What was bad is I'm an idiot. I should be able to figure this out by myself. I know they showed me how to do this at work and I can't do it. And now I'm going to have to go back to work and go through it again. Well, so the second scenario is where you're just pounding on yourself and you're making yourself feel really bad. The first scenario, you allow yourself to be human. Kristen Neff is an author who writes a lot about self-compassion, and she says that first of all, we have to be aware of what it is we're targeting with that inner critic, with that criticism about ourselves. And then we have to say, I'm human. We're all human. I did the best I could. And then we have to accept it and move on. And by framing that as I did the best I could, I worked really hard on that, that was good enough, we learn to be compassionate to ourselves. That's how we silence the inner critic. We notice it, we name it, and then we're compassionate to ourselves.
Did you name your inner critic?
Mine is called Little Susie because when
Yeah,
I was in trouble, people would call me Susie, and I always got in trouble in school for talking too much.
me
But
too.
I reacted by making really good grades, and so I could always sort of get away with it. I was always in trouble for blabbing my mouth, but then I did well in school, and people said, "Okay, whatever, you can go accomplish something." And I just kept achieving and achieving and achieving. And that's what perfectionists do, whether it's in their marriage, in their mothering, in their work, we achieve. And we
Yeah.
really like to achieve because it makes us feel good. And I want listeners to think about this. Okay, when you achieve something and it makes you feel good, how long do you feel good?
I can add, if you, we're waiting for the listeners to think about it, but I also struggle with perfectionism and it literally like a nanosecond. I feel good for like
Yeah,
a
right.
nanosecond.
You feel good for a little while. And
But
so we're
if
not
I mess something up,
enjoying.
I feel bad for like ever. Like it feels like the
Exactly.
complete opposite. That's craziness.
Exactly. It is. That's you're allowing your inner critic to weigh in. And maybe we need to make our inner critics nicer. Maybe we need, I need a different, I need a Betty Lou inner critic that says, good job, Susan.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So awareness of the inner critic is a big step towards combating perfectionism. It's really very, very important. And everybody needs to have their own definition of good enough. I used to ask my husband, am I being a good enough mom? And he would say, okay, tell me what you think that means. And I would say, okay, that's smart. Do I spend enough time with them? Am I loving? Do I give hugs? Do I participate in their activities? Do I spend alone time with them? And as I went through a list of things, he would say, you do all those things. And I said, you're right, I do. But I'm gone to work so much. And he would say, a lot of women are gone to work so much. Kids don't care if their moms work. They're happy. They're in school. They have friends. And when he and I would sit down and I would define good enough for me as a mom, I decided that I was good enough. But I'll tell you, I had to ask him, I had to say, "Hun, how about this week? Was I good enough this week?" And because we still question ourselves, that's what perfectionists do. Did I do well enough? Did I do it perfectly? I'm sure not everybody listening is a perfectionist. I hope most of the listeners are just hanging in there doing good enough and don't care if they're perfect or not. But I'll tell you, a lot of women these days are really feeling exhausted. And when you ask them why, it's because they think they're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah, I think it's scary and it's sad. And I know for myself, like I even struggle when I'm not feeling well. Like I can be really, really sick, but I feel guilty if I'm resting. So why do you think that perfectionists have a hard time resting?
Wow, that's a good question. I think we haven't allowed ourselves downtime. We've always sought achievement. We've always sought success. I had a really hard time with this until I scheduled 2 afternoons to go exercise. And then every now and then I would schedule a Saturday to, go have picnic with the kids. And so I was really bad at resting until I learned to schedule resting. And I consider exercise as a sort of rest, but real rest is where you're laying on the couch and you're not doing anything for anybody and you're not reading and you're not scrolling. You're laying on the couch and you're just thinking and your mind is drifting and you might be napping, might be snoozing. Your kid might come in and ask you a question, you answer, give a hug, they go on about their way. Nothing is pulling you away. That's true rest. And
So
that's
watching
really hard.
TV, if you don't think watching TV is resting?
No. Well,
Yeah, I
some
agree.
people think it is. It is an escape, but it's not true rest because when we rest, it's like taking a walk in nature. When you rest, your mind wanders. And when your mind wanders, you think about issues, you think about dreams, you think about aspirations, you think about problems, and you're more likely to be creative and you're more likely to come up with solutions when you are rested. Sleep is another thing that perfectionists don't allow themselves enough of. We all need at least 7 or 8 hours. And I probably lived my whole midlife getting 6 hours, maybe less some nights. And so, one of the things that's actually detrimental when you're tired, you're harder on yourself. Like you said, when you feel sick, I shouldn't feel sick. Well, everybody gets sick. We're human, we get
Or it's
viruses.
not that I shouldn't feel sick, it's I should still go do that class. I should still be working my hardest today. Like I don't
Yes.
allow myself the time to heal and I push myself to, continue working like I would when I'm feeling good. And I think part of that for me was seeing my parents do that growing up. Like
Yes.
my dad
Yes.
would be sicker than a dog. Sicker than a dog, it would be storming so bad, the roads would be terrible, and he would leave 2 hours early to go to work to make it there. And then I thought because he was doing it that that was normal and that's how you
Right.
should act,
Right.
which is crazy.
My youngest daughter told me, "Mom, it's really normal for people to work 12 hours a day." And I said, "No, it's not. No. I mean, your sister is doing that. She works 12-hour shifts, but she only has 3 of those a week." And she said, "Well, you did it all the time when I was a teenager." I said, "I know. It was bad that I did that. That was too much work." Most people do not work 12 hours a day. I worked too much, but I was in an ICU and my schedule was flexible. And she said, "Well, everybody should work 12 hours a day." I'm going, "No." So, Lisa, what you're describing is we get those messages from our parents how our parents' work ethic. You might have had a mom or a dad that was a perfectionist. Sounds like your dad was, if he'd drag himself out in the snow and drag himself when he was sick. Again, those messages we get from our culture, our parents, our teachers, our mentors, our supervisors. But we've got to cut through those messages and figure out how to recognize those messages as old pathways. They're old neurologic pathways, and we have to rebuild new pathways by saying to ourselves, okay, that's really pretty harsh. I don't need to be that harsh on myself. I would not be that harsh to my best friend. I've been working really hard. I have a bad virus. I'm going to take a day off. That's okay. And we just have to force ourselves to learn to do that, to learn to be compassionate to ourselves, and to learn to rest. I think when I finally learned to rest, my kids were bigger, they were older, elementary. I went, wow, this is amazing. You know, if I would just take a walk in the neighborhood by myself, that was always so calming for me. It felt like a rest, and I wasn't walking fast. It wasn't for exercise. It was just walking around. And I would come back and I would feel refreshed. So rest should make you feel refreshed and open and creative and receptive. And so if we're not able to rest, that is another big sign that we're perfectionists, that we've got too much on our plate. Too many things going. We're asking too much of ourselves. So another way to combat these tendencies is setting boundaries. Ooh, setting boundaries, so
Oh my God,
hard.
that's like a trigger for me. So
So
I'm getting
hard.
better, but it was so bad. I
Yeah,
just said
like,
yes to
oh.
everything because I didn't want to disappoint people and I thought I could handle it. And
Exactly. Exactly. You are a perfectionist. The more you tell me, the more I say you are. And so, what if when Stacy wants you to do another project, you say, I would love to, well, don't say I would love to, say, I would like to, but right now I'm really full with the projects we're already doing. And I don't think I can give it the time, period. And you know what she's going to say? She's going to say, okay. She's not going to say, you idiot, why are you falling down on the job? Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? We imagine we're going to get in trouble if we say no. But you need to try to say no. You need to try to say, I'm pretty full right now. I don't think I can take on one more thing. Now, if you're working 80%, you can take on one more thing, but most of us are working 100% or 110%. I was always 110%. I would stay after work to do charting and then get home late and gripe at myself for getting home late. Learning to say no is the hardest thing for perfectionistic women. You can even say no to your sister, your sister-in-law. She calls you up and says, oh, we're going to have a party for mom, and I want you to get the decorations, and I want you to help me with the food. And you can say, wow, I am so busy this week. I can't help that much. I'll be happy to do the decorations, but I can't do any food. You know what your sister's going to say? Okay, fine. And she's going to move on with getting people to do the things she needs for the party. So you have set a boundary. You have said, I'll do this, but not all of it. Sometimes you're going to say, I'm sorry, I'm overloaded. I can't do a thing. Can we put it off till next month? So setting boundaries is all about recognizing where you are and trying to do the things that you absolutely can do and have to do. For example, If your husband wants you to take a child to the pediatrician because he can't get off that day, but you can, and it's still kind of a problem, you're going to say, okay, no, I'll do it. It's okay, I'll do it. But if your boss wants you to take on one more project and you promised your child that you were going to take them to the volleyball tournament this Friday, you'll say, I can't start that until Monday. I scheduled a PTO on Friday for something personal. And your boss will say, okay. Or he'll give the work to somebody else. And sometimes there is fear that you're going to get passed over by saying no. But the only way to get less work when you're a perfectionist is to say no, is
Yeah.
to draw the line, is to set a boundary. And there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it's a reasonable boundary.
Yeah, and I think another challenge that we face in this society is overworking and not sleeping and pushing through is almost celebrated. And it's like if your friend or colleague says, "Oh, I stayed up all night working on that project," then it's almost like it becomes a competition. Like it's the thing to do. So then someone else says, "Well, I stayed up for 2 days doing this work," and it's like glamorized. Where like, why do we do that? It's crazy. Like, it's not cool to not sleep to work. Like unless you have to do it, but you really got to look after yourself. But our society just glamorizes this way of overworking and pushing through and working harder. And so, as a perfectionist, to see others doing that, I feel like that makes me think that I could be doing more.
Exactly. But if you ask those people, are they happy with that level of excessive performance, they would probably say no, what we're talking
Yeah.
about here. Think about this.
They're like hanging on by
So,
a thread. I'm imagining them like hanging off a cliff, barely hanging on.
perfectionism is performative. Excellence is a value. And self-worth is something that we all have. We all are born human, worthy as human beings. We have self-worth just because I'm Susan and you're Lisa. And we can strive for excellence if we think that's our value. It is for me. It sounds like it is for you. But perfectionism is a performance, it is not excellence. It's excessive. There is no success in perfectionism because it beats down those who have it. If you ask those people who say, I stayed up all night and I got it all done, pull them aside and say, okay, you really aced that project. How did it make you feel? I bet you they will say, exhausted. What next? Oh, bring it on. It doesn't make us happy. It's perfectionism is a performance. It's trying to do something better because we think we should.
Yeah, it's like an image thing.
Yes, it is very much an image. So I want people to think about the difference between perfectionism and excellence. Because you can work and be excellent at your work without being a perfectionist. And
So,
you
how would you
can.
define excellence? Like, how would you define excellence compared to perfectionism?
Excellence is doing a job that is complete, that's appropriate, that is sometimes above and beyond, that is the best you can do. But it's not killing yourself to do it. It's not forsaking rest. It's not forsaking your family. It's not forsaking your relationship. That's perfectionism. And perfectionism is hurting our relationships because You can't be a perfect partner and a perfect worker and a perfect mother and a perfect sister or daughter. You cannot be all those things all at once perfectly. It is impossible. But you can strive to be a good enough daughter, a good enough friend, a good enough partner. You can be excellent in your work and strive to be a good enough worker. And you can think about yourself as worthy just because you are human and you strive for excellence, but you don't have to have perfectionism. It sounds like a tiny difference, but it's actually a big difference, Lisa.
Yeah, no, I get it. It makes total sense. I think I want to hear your story and when you realized that you were a perfectionist. But I remember working my old job. It was about a year and a half ago, and I just put so much pressure on myself to run this program, and I was doing so much stuff that I started getting resentful to my boss and my colleagues because I was working so hard, and I remember sitting down in my boss's office, and I was like, I've got this to do and this to do and this to do. And she said, "Who's telling you to do all this stuff?" And I was like, in that moment, I'm like, shoot. I'm like, yeah, my own brain. It has nothing to do with you guys. And so
Your
I had
inner
like all this
critic.
resentment towards them, but it was really myself that was telling me that I needed to do all these things and it wasn't even real. So it was like an illusion that I created for myself. And then yeah, it took me a while to recover from that. And I remember when I did that, I felt like I wasn't doing anything. Like suddenly the silence of building something new was boring, and I felt so out of sorts because I every moment before then my time was filled with something. Now all of a sudden I had time to think and I had to be with myself, and man, that was hard getting used to.
Sounds like you had a hard time resting too.
Yeah. What age were you
Mine,
when you realized?
42. I
Okay.
had my third child. We had moved to a new city. I had a new job. I was trying to get promoted to associate professor, and I was working my butt off trying to get everything together for promotion. And I had a new baby at home, a one-year-old baby, and two other kids. And I was just
Wow.
working 10 hours and rushing home and being exhausted and rushing back to work and feeling like a bad mother and feeling, but I really wanted to get promoted. And so I did this frenzy of work and motherhood for 6 months, and I finally got promoted. And I resented the hell out of everything I had to do to get promoted. It was the same thing. I was so resentful. I said, I've left my kids alone so much the last 6 months, and I made my husband do this, this, and this, and this. And I just was so resentful of work. It made me hate the process. And I
Yeah.
got promoted and I got tenure. I mean, that's a big deal in academic
Wow.
medicine. And I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy the success one bit. I was exhausted and I felt bad and I felt like I had abandoned my family. And so again, striving for perfect made me less happy, less joyful, unable to rest. Just like it did with you. And so I think that third baby really was the icing on my perfectionistic cake. And I thought, okay, I can't have three kids and work 60 hours a week. And even though I just got promoted, I've got to pull back. And I did. And I pulled back. And I pulled back my hours. I wrote fewer papers. I spent way more time with my children at home, started exercising. And guess what? In a year, I felt so much better. I
Nice.
was seeing my kids more. I had a better relationship with my husband. I was not working as hard as I had. And I felt better. I was happier. I slept better. It was just amazing. When I pulled back from overachieving, I actually felt better.
That's amazing. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that story. To those out there who don't know you yet, perhaps, maybe you could tell everyone more of the work that you do and where they can find more information about you.
Oh, thanks. I am a retired neonatologist. I worked in the NICU taking care of sick babies and their parents for over 30 years. Since retirement, I've had a podcast and a newsletter on Substack called Moms Matter. I have a website, SusanLandersMD.com. When I retired, I wrote a memoir called So Many Babies, and you can see that book behind Lisa on her shelf. And recently, because I was so excited to put pen to paper about perfectionism, I wrote this book, Good Enough Is Your Superpower: Overcoming Perfectionism for Women by Silencing Your Inner Critic and Setting Boundaries. This book is for you if you have been if you have felt relatable to the conversation that we've had, if you feel like you're a perfectionist, this book is available on Amazon and you can get it ebook or paperback. I wanted to put some of my own experiences and struggles with perfectionism in this new book and give people some, especially working moms, some insight into how to fight against it, how to be okay, be good enough.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks so much for being here to talk about this really important topic. I think more people struggle with it than we could ever imagine. So, message has been received. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have any last minute tips you want to leave the audience with?
Learn to recognize your inner critic. Give her a name. Try to make her a little nicer. And remember that no is a complete sentence.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to just say no. I'm just going to put a sign that
A
says
sticky note on your computer. No is a complete sentence.
Yes, I love that. It was so good to see you, and it was so good to record with you today. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Lisa. It was fun.
It was so much fun. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. We will have Dr. Susan Lander's links in the show notes so you can access her amazing work. And if you struggle with perfectionism, you're not alone. There is help out there. And check out Susan's new book, Good Enough Is Your Superpower, if you want to learn more. All right, guys, take care. Until next time.
Bye.